News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. And as I hit refresh, the temperature went down to 36 degrees over the Penn Valley Airport, Sealands Grove. That trend is going in the wrong direction. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McCranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, and Mike's a member of the Critics' Choice Association, so you see all the Critics' Choice. They are probably the most talked about, objective, and really valid critics group that's out there. Just some real smart folks that look at films in a very professional manner. Well, he's part of that, so we're glad to say that he's back on board. His first review is a new movie that's either out or coming out called Uncharted. Mike.
Uncharted is based on the popular video game, and if there's one thing we all know, it's that video game movies are always great. Tom Holland plays a New York City bartender slash petty thief who teams up with professional treasure hunter Mark Wahlberg to locate a vast amount of gold lost by Ferdinand Magellan 500 years ago. Their trek takes them to exotic locations where they discover hidden passageways, mysterious maps, and all kinds of booby traps that utilize technology that would not have existed in Magellan's day. Uncharted might have been fun if it had some new ideas, but the story mostly relies on cliches we've seen in Raiders of the Lost Ark, National Treasure, The Da Vinci Code, and dozens of other movies where characters go in search of some ancient artifact. The central quest here simply isn't very interesting, which makes it difficult to care whether Holland and Wahlberg succeed. On top of that, Antonio Banderas is utterly wasted in a thin supporting role as a narcissistic businessman who's also trying to find the gold. Mark Wahlberg gets a few laughs from his droll wisecracks, and a couple of the action scenes are fun, particularly one where Holland falls out of an airplane. Beyond that, Uncharted is yet another mediocre video game adaptation. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 PlayStations.
Must be talking about an action film if we can talk about falling out of an airplane as just another action scene, not a tragedy or anything like
that. Right, right. You know, and all kinds of crazy things happen that defy the laws of physics. This is one of those movies where two people can fall at the same time, but one person can fall faster than the other person, and then the second person has to tilt themselves at a certain angle to make them fall faster so they can catch up to the first person. It makes no sense.
Okay, so that didn't work out too well. But, yeah, it seemed like Fast and Furious only with a ship instead of, I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
And I thought, and plus I was struck with this pang, I have seen this story before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea of, you know, a skeptic saying, well, those are just old maps, they don't mean anything. And then somebody else saying, oh, no, au contraire.
Right. There's actually a stash of gold out there somewhere, and we've got to find it. Yeah, it's one of those. It just rips off other movies. And I never played the video game it's based on. Maybe people who played it would see the movie differently. Maybe it gives them exactly what they want. But I found the whole thing just contrived.
Uncharted. Okay. So, yes, it was. What are the famous pirate movies with that great modern actor?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Yeah, it has some similarities to those as well.
It's like that, only without the ultra-strong characterization. Uncharted, you gave it?
2 PlayStations.
2 PlayStations, all right. And that's, I guess, where you used to play the game Uncharted. All right, well, we have some mini-reviews, so let's launch into that. The Cursed. I watched the trailer and jumped out of my chair. What do you think?
This movie opens nationwide today. It's opening locally, and there's not a lot of buzz about it, but there should be. This is a slow-burn werewolf movie. It's about this land baron, and he and his cohorts run a group of Romani people off their land. And in return, one of the women puts a curse on the entire town. And then all of a sudden, this wolf starts attacking, and all the local children start having a nightmare about this set of silver wolf teeth that are buried at the base of this creepy scarecrow out in the middle of a field. So this is a really tense, atmospheric, moody horror movie. When things do break loose, it gets very bloody and gory. So this is not for the squeamish. But I have to say, this movie had me on edge the entire time. It's beautifully made, set in the 1800s, has a great period look. It's called The Cursed, and it opens locally today. Now, if you're somebody who just wants that kind of spoon-fed Hollywood studio horror, you may not like this. It's a little bit artsier, but if you like ambitious werewolf movies that have good performances and good filmmaking and interesting ideas, then The Cursed is something you've got to see. So 3.5 stars for that one.
All All right, super. Okay, good. Well, that's consistent with the trailer. I'm batting 100% here with just watching the trailer.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
Okay, super. Let's see. Death on the Nile. We have to have seen this film before, too.
It's been made before, back in the 70s. Yeah, this is kind of like the sequel to Murder on the Orient Express. Kenneth Branagh is back as Hercule Poirot, but this time they're all on a boat on the Nile, and there's a murder. Now, my problem with this movie is that it takes a full hour before the murder actually happens. So the first hour is just trying to introduce way too many characters and establish way too many thin motives, and then the murder happens, and then the second hour is him trying to solve it. But it's really not very convincing, and the central mystery I didn't find particularly gripping. So 2 stars for Death on the Nile. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but Murder on the Orient Express was much better.
All right. And one of our good listeners sent us a note in advance of this, seeing it on our Facebook page, saying, unfortunately, this film, you can't solve it based on what you see.
That is true. They do not give you the clues to be able to put it together yourself or to make a guess. Now, I made a relatively educated guess as to who might somehow be behind it, and I was correct. Okay. But that wasn't really based on anything in the plot. That was based more on how they cast the film.
Okay, so Death on the Nile, you certainly might find it enjoyable. What are you giving that?
It's just 2 stars. It's nothing special.
All right, and where is that playing?
That's in theaters.
In theaters, all right. Well, I'm glad to see a lot of films are... The trend now is to start in theaters, period.
Theaters are coming back, for sure, yeah.
All right, fabulous. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, I know I've seen that before.
Yeah, this one is debuting on Netflix. It was supposed to go to theaters, but it's going to Netflix instead, and for very understandable reasons. This is yet another attempt to reboot Tobe Hooper's 1974 classic, which is one of the best horror movies ever made. And this movie runs an hour and 14 minutes before the credits roll. This is an incredibly short movie, so you don't get much of a story at all. The scenes where Leatherface attacks are actually pretty good. This movie, unlike the original, is extremely gory. I mean, this movie takes goriness to new levels. That's done well, and that's disturbing, but the characters are so dumb, and the plot of this movie involving a bunch of 20-somethings who buy this Texas ghost town and try to auction off all the buildings, that's just dumb. And I'm not really sure why they thought that was a good way to get all these characters stranded. There's a million ways to strand people with Leatherface, and they picked a way that was just really dumb. So 1.5 stars for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Nothing will ever top the original. They keep trying to redo this series, and it never works. Just go back and watch Tobe Hooper's 1974 classic, because it's still as scary today as it was then.
And any sequels to Texas Chainsaw Massacre that were worth watching also, in addition to the original.
For my money, and I've seen all of them, for my money, the only one that's worth its salt is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which was also directed by Tobe Hooper, and he was smart enough to know that he couldn't catch lightning in a bottle twice, so he made the second one a horror comedy, took it in a completely different direction, and it works on its own terms. All of the other sequels and reboots and prequels have taken themselves very seriously and tried to emulate the original, and you just are never going to reach that same level of terror.
All right, so that got 1.5 stars, we'll call it, all right? And we invite folks to go to aisleseat.com and check out all the information that's being presented now is available there, plus his top 10 films of 2021 and the worst couple films of 2021 are also listed there, so you can check those out. Movie Mike McGranahan is with us. Entertainment news, Beavis and Butthead, never been a huge fan, but I know they have a great, great following.
Yeah, there's going to be a new Beavis and Butthead movie called Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe, and it's going to send them into outer space. So everybody who loves Beavis and Butthead, and I count myself
among
that
group. Yeah, I was just going to say, you're all smiles now.
It's exciting to have some new Beavis and Butthead material, and this sounds like it could be a funny premise, sending them into space.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Ivan Reitman died. I can't say that I really would have known who he was until this week.
Yeah, Ivan Reitman. We've had so many celebrity deaths already in 2022, but this one hit me really hard because Ivan Reitman's work has meant a great deal to me and many other people. He first got his big break producing a little movie you may have heard of called National Lampoon's Animal House. He then went on to direct Meatballs with Bill Murray, Stripes also with Bill Murray, and of course the 1984 classic Ghostbusters. Those are just some of the films that he made, and Ivan Reitman was somebody who really understood the rhythm of comedy in a way that few filmmakers did, and he consistently turned out very, very funny movies over the course of his career and shaped what comedy looked like, particularly in the 1980s. So his passing this week, which was unexpected, is a real loss for fans of movie comedy.
Yeah, and one of the attributes that I heard from him this week was that anybody can come up with funny shticks, but to translate it to the screen and then for us to grab it off the screen in the same way it's intended is ridiculously difficult to do. And
Absolutely. Obviously
he knew how.
He knew how, and his list of movies, if you go and look him up on IMDb, just one hit movie after another. He really had an amazing career.
All right, so and IMDb stands for?
Internet Movie Database.
There you go. Okay, super. It's nothing more than what it says it is. It's just everything listed, everything about every movie. All right, well, I promised each day I'll save a tiny bit of time for the Oscar review. We did talk about the best pictures last time. Best Actor. Any big surprise there?
Not really. I mean, it was a tough category. I think a lot of people were sort of surprised that Javier Bardem was nominated for playing Desi Arnaz and Being the Ricardos, because nobody was really sure whether that movie was going to click with the Oscar voters or not, but it did. There was some controversy because they cast a non-Cuban actor as a Cuban actor. But regardless of any baggage that may come with that, Javier Bardem is very good in the film. So he was the one that I think really maybe took people by surprise.
All right, so Andrew Garfield from Tick, Tick, Boom, Boom. Tick, Tick, Boom, you like that?
Yeah, it's a good
film
movie.
Also, Will Smith in King Richard. I haven't seen that one yet. And Denzel Washington in The Tragedy of Macbeth, along with, of course, the obvious winner, Benedict Cumberbatch in Power of the Dog. I just watched that movie. That is ridiculous.
That's a great film, and he is phenomenal in it. His best work ever.
And will the Oscars reward that? Sort of a predictive remark?
Well, it's hard to say. The Oscar voters can be very finicky, and a lot of times it's not necessarily based on what's best. There's a lot of politics involved in Oscar voting and a lot of campaigning. So Benedict Cumberbatch, definitely the front runner, but we'll see whether he can pull it off when the Oscars are announced next month.
All right. Well, to be continued. We'll do Best Actress next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Movie Mike.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, Critics' Choice Association member. Do as I do often. Go to aisleseat.com. And if you really want to find out what's going on in the world, follow him on Twitter, @aisleseat. His appearance is sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.